Welcome to Storytellers of Color, our new monthly show that airs every second Monday of the month as part of a public affair here in KGNU. The main goal of the show is to provide a safe space for communicators of color through a series of conversations to elevate their voices and discuss issues of equality in the media. My name is Rosanna Longo-Better. Our guest this morning is Musa Starseed, an artist of many talents, gifts and crafts, a dancer, a DJ, musician, a teacher, a community organizer, and a manifestation coach. Musa, welcome to the station.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here, so happy to be a part of the amazing speakers that have come on to Storytellers of Color.
Thank you so much. It is for me a pleasure to have you in studios today. The first time I saw you, it was in a dance floor. And what struck me is that I saw that you had what flamenco dancers, they call it the duende, el duende. You have the duende, sir, and it shows, it really shows. So I would really like if you can tell us, how is it that when you are there dancing, projecting this love for dance, you connect with people? It is a magical moment.
Oh my goodness, yes, the duende. Well, I believe that dance is one of the universal languages. And I've experienced that in my life. I've experienced that traveling. I've experienced that in so many situations, because dance in itself is something that all human beings have the ability to share. And no matter where I go, if I don't know the culture, if I don't know a person, if I don't know someone's belief system, if I know how to move with them, that gives me an instant connection to them. So that's why when I dance, I consider it more than just an extracurricular activity. I consider it a way to connect with humanity, a way to heal myself and to heal others. And also a way to communicate, because it's a universal language.
It's a universal language, precisely. You project that. You're one with the music, with the dancer, and with the people that we are watching. We are watching you. We are like one. And it feels so good. And especially now that we are starting this new year, I thought about you a lot. About dancing, about celebrating a new year, a year that has been a difficult year for a lot of people.
Exactly. I feel that one of the most inspirational quotes that I've ever heard, it goes like this. It goes, "Lo más profundo la herida, la más dulce la canción." And if anybody doesn't speak Spanish, that means the deeper the wound, the sweeter the song. And I feel like in times like this, where the wounds are deep, where the traumas and the difficulties are starting to bubble up to the surface, I feel like these are the times where creative people, where artists, where influencers, where anybody who can tap into that source, this is the time to bring that out. This is the time to bring your gifts out, bring your skills out, and contribute. Because there's going to be some of the most sweetest songs that are going to come out of all this destruction.
You use all these different skills to brighten the lives of others in community. You do it. As soon as you step into the dance floor or you start DJing and putting some music, everybody comes out, you know, and they cannot hold it. And they go out and they start dancing with the music that you are putting out there. How do you use these skills? My question will be, how did you start this craft that you have? You had a mentor?
Well, my mentors, I've had many mentors, and really my greatest mentor is my connection spiritually to my ancestors. And that's one of the hardest things that I've been trying to get across living in, especially this area of Boulder, Colorado. It's hard for some people to grasp the concept of dance and music and to expand it further than entertainment. Most of the time, that's how it's received in places that are not really culturally diverse, you know? They see dancing, they see music, and they use it as a form of entertainment. They use it as a form of profit or as a form to just liven up a space. But actually, it goes way deeper than that. It goes into the culture. It goes into someone's spirituality. It goes into someone's belief. It goes into how someone can heal themselves and how someone can cultivate their own vibration and empower themselves. And that's my approach, is when I do these events, when I create these spaces, I'm thinking about it in the terms of I'm conjuring energy, and I'm conjuring energy for a specific intention, for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to influence the vibration of a space. Because when I think about it, is I think about it like the element of water and the ocean. And if you're in the ocean, it's like the power of the ocean is so immense. And it's like we can't control the ocean. We can't control that. But what we can do is we can make waves. And those waves have the influence to move other waves. And that creates an amplification effect. So what I'm doing with all of my gifts and talents is I'm making waves in this community and other communities. And these waves will influence things in way. And if I'm having my intention to be on culture and positivity and upliftment and empowerment and inspiration, and it's gonna come back.
Yeah, you also travel with your camera documenting the trace of the ancient roots of the African diaspora and its branches. Since when are you doing this work?
Oh my goodness, this all started when I first went to Africa. I wanna give a shout out to the Mensas. If you know who the Mensas are, then you know who I'm talking about. But peace to the Mensas, they brought me to Ghana, West Africa for the first time. And I got to experience a little bit of my ancestry, a little bit of where I come from. I got to go to the slave castles that are still existing. I got to see the nail marks in the concrete of when they held the slaves there. I got to go to different spiritual ceremonies. I got to learn the language and other things, taste the food. And after that experience, something activated inside of me. And I started to really get interested in the journey of what happened when the people from Africa started to be displaced all across the Americas and into the Caribbean and into other places like Brazil and Colombia and Cuba specifically. So my goal is to sort of reclaim some of this history, because a lot of it has been either lost or misunderstood. This is a history that when I was growing up in school, they told me nothing about. People like Mansa Musa, people like the Moors, people like the ancient Egyptians, and how they were influential in creating some of the foundations of traditional astrology. I didn't learn any of this in school. I had to go on my own journey and seek my own teachers to get this information that's very important to who I am and my ancestry. So what I've been doing lately with documentary film is to make a catalog of some sort, to make a library of some sort of this information, because this information is gonna be very influential in the future for people who really wanna tap back into the ancestral roots and the ancestral power and the ancestral magic that exists. And this ancestral magic, this power is within us, it's within all of us. And that's how I'm able to maintain my spirit in these dark times, because I know that the ancestors before me have been through worse. And they made it through. How did they make it through? What are the stories that I can remember that has the information of how they made it through. What are the magical tools that they used? What are the resources that they tapped into to make it through some of their darknesses and shadows? And when we translate that to the time that we're living in now, we can see how these tools of movement is one way that they made it through. The rhythms, the ability to tune into nature is basically rhythms and timing, timing yourself to nature and the different cycles. And also storytelling was another way that they made it through. And the ability to conjure culture and to connect with people was another way they made it through. And their practices and their rituals was another way they made it through. So these are all the things that I'm studying, and I've been traveling to these places. I made a documentary in Cuba about the history of hip hop, because hip hop is another aspect of the diaspora. And I also traveled to Brazil, which is what I was going to make my next documentary on before the travel restrictions started.
You're listening to Storytellers of Color as part of a public affair here in KGNU. And we are having the opportunity to chat today with Musa Starseed. And he's talking about this award-winning documentary called Souls of Azúcar. Is that the way you pronounce it?
Exactly.
Where you documented the history of hip-hop in Cuba. This is super special. Please explain to our listeners, you know, the hip-hop and the connection with the soul of the Cuban people.
It's so fascinating. I'm a history buff, you know, in a sense, because I like to research and I like to dig deep into the root causes of things. And when it comes to the culture of hip hop is a perfect model and example for how to transcend any kind of trauma, how to transcend any kind of difficulty or obstacles or complications. The whole history of how hip hop started and where it is now is a perfect example of that. And the amazing thing that I learned is that a lot of the roots of hip hop, they can be traced back to places like Africa, places like Brazil with capoeira, and places like Cuba. I went to Cuba to see if this was true. I was reading about it, I was listening to stories, but I wanted to see with my own eyes, is this true? Is there any kind of connection there? The first time I went to Cuba, I didn't speak that well Spanish, but I spoke hip hop and they spoke hip hop. And this was our mutual juncture point. I remember one time the first time I was there, I heard there was a hip hop event going on. I just went, I didn't know anybody. I saw someone dancing in front of the event. So I go over, I'm okay. I start dancing with them. Right there, we create a connection. That connection, I'm still connected with that person to this day. And that shows how, without knowing someone's language, you can have a connection through a universal language. The more research that I did into how hip hop became and how hip hop started to cultivate in Cuba, the more I started to dive into the Cuban history, the Afro-Cuban history, and the magic that exists inside that whole story of how they brought people from the Congo and the Bantu regions of Africa and how they had to assimilate to a new land and how they created what is called cabildos, which are sort of pockets of nations, of different nations of Africa. And they had to sort of adapt to this new situation. And how they did that was they created these new hybrid spiritual practices, is what I like to call it. Practices like palo, practices like santeria, practices like these. Through history, all these practices pretty much have been connotated with negative viewpoints. They've been seen as dark. They've been seen as sometimes evil and things like that. But really, these were people who were trying to reconnect to where they come from. And that's the whole purpose of the word religion. If you look it up, the etymology of religion is relegare, to retie, to come back. And they did this by reconnecting to their spiritual practices in a new land and creating a new spiritual practice. And this was the way that they were able to be resilient through all of the struggles that were going on at this time. So all this music that people like right now, a lot of the music comes from these rhythms that originated in these areas. For example, right now, Afrobeat is popular in a lot of places. And a main thing in Afrobeat is this rhythm called the clave, which goes like this. Ba, 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 ba. That rhythm, the clave, is in so much of the Cuban music too. Why is it in the Cuban music? Because that clave rhythm was remembered from the people that were brought to Cuba. And when they play that rhythm, they're activating their ancestral roots and they're bringing themselves back to life. So when I study these rhythms, when I study these cultures, and when I not only study them, but embody them into my lifestyle and integrate them into my belief system, into my mindset, and really become a practitioner and not just an observer, I start to tap into the same essence that they were tapping into. And this is the main reason why I feel like all these different kinds of musics that are popular today, the sweetness of the music, the reason why people listen to it and they feel something is because it comes from these roots of pain and struggle. It comes from these places of shadow. And it comes from a certain kind of person that is able to be resilient through the difficulties and to learn how to deal with trauma and to learn how to deal with loss. And when it comes to trauma and loss, that's something that as humanity, we all deal with. That's a universal language too, trauma. But what separates one person from another's trauma is how they choose to respond to it. And the whole model of Cuban music is a model where they say, I respond to trauma by moving through it, by dancing with it, by singing along to it. And in that sense, I create a wave in the universe and I can have an influence on how this trauma will play out later on.
Is this passing through? You are such a good teacher. Such a good teacher. You have also been sharing your DJ programs with young people, with minority young people. I know that. And I'm just thinking as you're explaining this to me, how these kiddos, the ones from I Have a Dream Foundation, benefited from these teachings. Because it's not only, you know, how to mix the music and bring it in and all that, but the way you're explaining to me, like waves, you know, in a big ocean, and how important it is to bring back your roots to be able to heal. That's incredible. You're making me think about, you know, this is a new year. You're making me think about how is it that we say bye to an old year in my culture? How is it that we embrace the new year and we imagine how things are going to. You are making me think right now that it is important for us to understand this new adventure of magical that you are embarking on.
Yes, and I hope that I could read this story that I wrote. It's a short story, but...
Please do it. Please do it, but explain to us how you're bringing, or if you want, read the story first and then tell us how you're trying to bring this new magical divination for healing.
Perfect. Okay. This is a story that I wrote. It's a part of a book that I'm writing actually called Nursery Raps. And the whole inspiration started when I started to think about myself as a younger person living in areas where I'm not the dominant. And I started to think about, if I were to have kids, how would I help them move through something like that? And I said, I would help them by writing rap stories and singing it to them. And this is one of my rap stories, and it's about what we're talking about. And I want to see if y'all could figure out the moral of the story after I'm done. So it starts like this. It's called The Genie and the Jackrabbit. There was once a little jackrabbit, although very small, just the size of his ears made him seem very tall. He would frolic and hop through the thickest of grass, but every time he passed, the other animals would laugh. The birds would all mock, the snakes would all wiggle, the fish would just chuckle, and the squirrels would all giggle. This hurt him so deep that it brought him to tears as all the animals made fun of him just for his big ears. The jackrabbit ran to a lake just to cry, and a single tear dropped into the water nearby. What was once a placid, calm, crystal clear lake now began to roar, bubble, boil, and shake. The jackrabbit knew not whether to stay or to flee. Then out of the water appeared a genie. "Lend me your ears, lend me your ears, for I am the genie, awoke from your tears. Unhappy and sad though now you may be, so I grant you these wishes, there count only three." The jackrabbit, confused, dazed by the sight, winced both his eyes as if blinded by light. He opened his eyes and stabled his stance, and when he saw the genie, he thought, "This is my chance. Genie, if that which you say is no lie, then transform my ears into wings that could fly." Before the jackrabbit could utter a word, he was completely changed into a mockingbird. Flying high in the sky, all the animals he passed, now smiling at the ones who all used to laugh. He flew so high that they could no longer mock, but soon he became prey for the ravenous hawk. To the genie he screamed, "Not I for a dish, so change my wings to the fins of a fish." It seemed just from luck that the hawk would just stop, and into the ocean the mockingbird dropped. So deep he would swim with the fins of a fish, to the sharks winced their teeth when they caught up a whiff. With the new fish they found, they all circled round, preparing their bellies for when they chow down. The little fish knew he would cease to exist, and called the genie angry and pissed. "If laughter is what I'm meant to endure, change me back to myself and let them laugh more." The fish closed his eyes as the sharks all drew near, and when he opened them, he found himself back with big ears. He went back past the animals, confident and strong, and to their mocking songs, he would sing right along. The Genie and the Jackrabbit.
Beautiful. Oh, Musa Darcy, that's beautiful. Okay, so you were asking how we can understand this story. What's the moral of the story? And I will say, of course, transformation, but also the importance of being ourselves truly through everything that we're going through the losses and the pains and the happiness and the changes, because that's what happens. Everything changes. Nothing stays still.
Wow. Yes.
Did I miss something?
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. You were talking about the concept of divination. And I feel like that's something else this story brings up with the genie. Because the genie is giving this person some magic, saying, "Okay, you have three wishes. Whatever you want is yours." But usually when we have the wishes, we want things that are not ourselves, and we just find ourselves getting into deeper problems, into deeper trauma, into deeper issues. So when it comes to divination, the whole point is to come back to yourself, as opposed to trying to find something else outside of yourself. And that's the sometimes what gets misunderstood and displaced when it comes to things like magic, when it comes to things like divination. And all these concepts of magic and divination I've been studying and practicing lately, and it's been very empowering to know that I don't have to run away from anything. All I have to do is go in, is get silent enough to hear the ancestors, to get silent enough to know what my next step will be. And if I can get silent enough, if I can get still enough, then I'm able to see the subtle movements of the universe all around me. And this is another universal language, the language of divination, the language of reading the signs around you. And that ability is a direct connection to whoever your ancestors are, whatever your spiritual practice or whatever your spiritual foundation is. Everybody has that ability to get still, get silent, and receive guidance from within.
I just want to thank you, Musa Starseed, for joining us today in this show, in our Storytellers of Color, a collaboration series inspired by Journals of Color and Latinx Voices. And it is really an open invitation to other storytellers to come into our airwaves, to tell their stories, and to occupy this safe space that we are providing here at KGNU Community Radio. We are trying to do this every second Monday of the month as part of a public affair here in KGNU Community Radio. I have been your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. Thank you so much for your story today, for the desire of sharing the love. And I feel that I want you to finish this by giving us, like the genie of your story, the three wishes for a new year that is coming. This 2022, we're hoping that we get a better year for our community.
Wow, you want me to say three wishes?
Yes, like a genie. You know, if you could imagine this 2022 as a year of healing, of empowering, and also of community, give us that almost like a blessing or that magical vibe of yours.
Oh my goodness, this is perfect, because my three wishes actually spell out a word, and that word is art. And I feel like art is an acronym. And to me, the acronym that it stands for is awareness, resilience, and transcendence. So those are my three wishes that I wish on everyone who's watching this or who comes into contact with this video. I wish that you become aware of what's going on. Like, you wake up, like you become conscious of what's happening around you. I wish that you become resilient enough to face the challenges, to face the shadows, and to move through it. And I wish that you are transcendent and you rise above those challenges and shadows to the next level.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for this opportunity today to speak with you, Musa. And do you know that Musa is a word in Spanish that means inspiration? Eres una verdadera Musa para muchos de nosotros. You are a real inspiration for a lot of us. And I hope that we can dance this year with your rhythms, with your music, that you DJ our parties, and that we become the community, the strong, resilient community, awakened community, and transformed community that we need to be.
Thank exactly. you again.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Rosanna.
Thank you. Thank you so much again, Musa, for having this beautiful conversation with me. Once again, you have been listening to Storytellers of Color. I'm your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. Stay tuned for Counterspin, followed by an eclectic morning of sound alternative.